Okay, I think we'll make a start. So, good afternoon. Have you enjoyed your lunch? Excellent. Lunch is always good, isn't it? And I'd like to welcome you to the family and carers stream. So, everybody in the right place. There's nobody who's had a sudden movement there and is about to dash out the door and be running in the wrong place. So, that's always good. My name is Hilary Beard, and I work for Care for the Family. I'm the training manager, community training manager, and we did a training across the UK. Haven't we had a fantastic conference so far? Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful, isn't it? I have to say, this is the first time I've been to the Neighbouring Church Conference, and I've just found it so really inspiring. Come in, you're welcome, sit down. Fantastic. So we've just got an hour together, and we might see you in 5 minutes, but we'll let you have it anyway. And we're going to explore the opportunities that the church has to support parents and carers of children with additional needs and disabilities. And we're going to think about some of the things that we've got the previous stream to think about, so you've got the benefit of their answers on the wall, and you have to come up with something different. So that's your challenge, okay? But we're going to think about how do we make families welcome within the church? How do we move beyond that welcome to inclusion? Do you remember the guy who spoke this morning talking about the red spots? All the red spots were outside the church, the red spots weren't inside the church. We want to bring change, don't we? We want to see that families are within our churches. How do we make the transition from seeing those with additional needs, those children with disabilities, who are as recipients of care, to actually moving to a place where they're going to be identified, released and supported in the unique gifts that they have to contribute to the church. And the way we're going to run the session this afternoon is we're going to have 3 short talks and we're going to share story, Care for the Family Urban Saints are known for the vulnerability, for our vulnerability, for the power of the story. And out of the power of 3 stories that you're going to hear, you will hear about resources that are can be used in your churches to help you as you seek to bring that inclusion into a reality. We're going to gather ideas from you as well, so we're not going to do all the work. So even though this is a graveyard slot, we're still going to ask you to do something, that's okay. But our overall aim today is to encourage you to plan forward, and this is the aim for the whole conference. You know, the learning from today, the learning from this stream this afternoon, and to be able to take that into your churches to make a difference, to be able to include those with additional needs and disability within your churches, within the ministry and within the mission of the church. And so I'm going to get the team to introduce themselves. But before they do, just to kind of get a bit of a sense of who you are here, I'm not going to get you all to introduce yourselves, so don't panic at this point. But how many leaders of churches do we have here, or ministry leaders within the church? Okay. And how many parents do we have, children with additional needs and disabilities? Okay, so good mix of support. Fantastic. Okay, so team.
Hi, my name's Mark Arnold. I head of operations for Urban Saints, but when they let me out to play, one of the things I get to do is talk about inclusion for children and young people with additional needs and disabilities in the groups and churches that we connect with.
Hi folks, my name's Pippa Rankers. I work for Care for the Family, and one of the things I do is train people to run parenting courses in the community, including a really great course that we have for parents and children with additional needs.
Hi, I'm Beth Mellor. I work for Care for the Family, and with Maggie, who's opening the door at the back, I coordinate coordinate parent support for additional needs. We have a befriending service, more of which later.
I'm Kay Morgan-Gurr, I'm one of the National Directors of Children Worldwide, and I'm absolutely and totally passionate about inclusion of all children in church, and partnering Crown with Mark on the additional needs allowance.
Okay, so that's the team. So I'll invite Beth, and Beth's going to talk to us about her story.
We'll talk about this guide in a little while, but it also has the extra clever use that we didn't know before of being able to block out the light on the overhead projector when we don't need it. Good afternoon. My name's Beth. I think we've said that four times now, so you know me very well. And I'm married to Chris. You can see us here on our wedding day. A photo up at the front for those who can't see it on me on my wedding day. I look about 15, but I was in fact 21. We met at school and we have no church background, so we chose the faith ourselves. So when it came to having children, it was really important to us that we shared that faith with our children. Right at the beginning, we had very little idea of all that lay ahead for us. Like most young couples, you know, we had all our dreams and how it was going to work out. We'd written our plan. We kind of hoped that, you know, God was going to sanction it. And that was where we were going. So, we had three children. Our three children are fabulous people. They're all adults now, and they came along with a selection of additional needs, most of which are hidden. But probably the one that has the biggest impact is the autism on the person who has it and on the wider family. We've done quite a few things. And as we grew up, as our children grew up through our church were generally pretty good. We had a lot of good friends in our church. We'd chosen that church especially to be a family-friendly area. Sometimes we had some really wacky ideas. So there was quite a list of bizarre ideas for what we should do with severe eczema that our first two children suffered. You know, God had told people what he was going to do. yes, we had the wacky ideas for the severe eczema and the even more wacky ideas to improve the behaviour that sometimes comes along with autism and spectrum disorders. Clearly we were really rubbish parents. It was something that was quite a thing. However, for one of our children, one guy made a huge difference. Didn't take the whole church. Your church can be wonderful, your church can be rubbish, but one guy, that's you, that's me, made a huge difference because for one of our children, he invited him to help with the audiovisual. He sat at the back with the sliders and the words for the songs. And he was invited to do it, and that showed him at a very young age that he had a part to play in the church. And, you know, at that moment when they hit the youth group, I don't know if any of you have been there, but, you know, however good your youth group is, for some children, it hits the moment where the youth group's not so good. But there's going around it. More of that later. Also, having children with additional needs gave me the opportunity to get involved in things I hadn't been involved in before and I had never expected to be involved in. So I became a volunteer with Care for the Family, and then a staff member with Care for the Family. And we head up, sorry, just tell you what this one is. On the slide at the moment, we've got our values. So we come from vulnerability. We go with the generosity of spirit, and we honour the least. And I really rather like that. I thought this was a good charity to get involved with. And also there's that feeling that you're giving something back, that you had all these experiences, and you can maybe use them in some way. And the families that you're contacting will feel less alone through it. So with Maggie, who I mentioned, back of the room, we coordinate a bunch of befrienders, here they are on the screen waving at you, and we team them up with other families throughout the UK, and they email and phone and text, and support them, and they say that you're not alone, and I've been there too, and I remember when it was like that, and they do a fabulous job, they're amazing people. We asked Jessica, who was one of our befrienders, what one of the people we befriended, what she thought about what she had, and She said that she'd been listened to and she'd been encouraged to seek help in her locality, that's who, wherever she was, and given the words to help her. And she said that Care for the Family provided her with a network to raise her child so that she was no longer one mum alone in isolation. So that was the befriending. And then we looked at how we could reach even more people. And so we have a Facebook page, like the rest of the world does. And our Facebook page is for people of all faith and none. And it's fabulous to see the conversations that develop on there. And people meet people, and they speak as if it was face-to-face, but they might be across the country. So it's putting people in touch with another parent or carer who has similar issues that they're dealing with. It gives the message that they're not alone. And it's a little bit of kind of subversive Christian witness goes on as well, but that's not what it's for. But side effect. God tends to do that, doesn't he? So, yeah, we're helping out, again, helping carers to seek people in their locality that would be useful to them, encouraging them to meet up locally and looking at ways of reaching more people. So, in our churches, the slide on the screen now says, life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. And in our churches, we need to welcome, accept, love and include everyone who comes through our doors. And I don't know what your life's been like, but ours has been quite a lot of storms. Chris and I were married in 1980, aged 21, feeling full of experience and knowing absolutely everything, which you do when you're 21. And then all those years later, we're still together. I'm not saying it's all been plain sailing, as anyone else who's been a parent where autism was involved will know that you have ups and downs. Actually, even just surviving ordinary teenagers can be scary enough. However, with God's help and a lot of good friends and a lot of respite, we've made it and we're still together. But if we waited for every storm to pass before we let God use us, I wouldn't be standing here today. We had to learn to dance in the rain. And what you and I need to do now is we need to help everyone to dance in the rain with us as they join our churches rather than waiting for the storm to pass. Out of all the opportunities that we've had, one of them has been to write a little guide, which is very useful for blocking off the light when we have projectors. And in this guide, we put things that families have told us. So this is very real. I'm just finding a couple of things to read. I don't know about the churches you're in, they're probably all lovely. But we were quite surprised to hear of some of the not loveliness of some of the experiences that some of these families have had. And we said, well, what could your church do? And it isn't rocket science, they said. I have been thrilled with the way my son has been welcomed into the youth group by the young people. Someone from church comes to my house after school to look after my child so that I can spend time with my other children. It was great when someone asked us what they could do to help. Very clever stuff. So we've then got a few tips in here, and one of them is, go with the theme, accept the family as they are, understand that you cannot fix the child or even the situation, never assume, always ask. And we have some do's and don'ts in this little booklet, and this is things that parents have said to us. They would love for the church. Do affirm my parenting. Find positive things to say. I do know that my child's behaviour can be very difficult. Don't criticise me, I really am doing my best. I can see it when you give me that disapproving look. Do offer practical support. I will know exactly what to ask for if I know you are genuinely available. And four, do always ask. Then please be patient while I try and explain. So, for one child, one guy, made all the difference. Sorry, I did say that, I forgot to change the slide, apologies. So for one child, one guy, made all the difference. That young man aged child who was taken to the back of the church and allowed to learn about the slides is now a qualified sound engineer. He has meaningful work. He's earning money for himself, he's becoming independent. He's still the same person he ever was, and he's still involved in the church in the general sense. So one guy did that. Wasn't everybody, were a lot of the rubbish things. We could tell you some rubbish stories about the youth group, but don't get the impression that it was all wonderful. But one guy did one thing, and it led to so much. And that could be you. What could you be doing that could be that thing that leads to so much? But we can also offer more. I've heard of things like Stepping Stones, a charity where they've got people together and they've run a cafe out of their church that people can work in. And also maybe car washing. You can set it up as a business. Things that people can do. They give a role model to younger families growing up to show that there are things that the church can maybe do that acknowledges that we are each made in the image of God. And we each reflect something of His glory that others do not. So, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions now, so I'll just give you a little bit of background, please. I wonder if we can think about how to make a great welcome for a family coming to the church for the first time. Because you know these families, I'm one of these families, we forgive a lot if we've got that welcome, if we know that actually we're cared for and loved and appreciated and included as if we belong in the church in every sense. And I wonder what we can do in that first visit that makes that family come back. And then when we've done that and they've been with us for 20 or 30 years, what can we do for the long haul that they're not getting anywhere else? They'll have numerous social workers, you know this yourselves, many of you I'm sure, key workers, occupational therapists, health professionals, teachers, teaching assistants, but the church will be there. What can we do for the long haul to help hold this family together and hold them close to the heart of God? Amen.
Thanks, Jen. That's fantastic.
Very good. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to attempt to do a little bit of group work, okay, because we acknowledge that you have got fantastic ideas, right? Things that are already happening in your churches, things that you can share, that we need to get ideas from one another. It's not just about what we can bring as organisations. So, the way we're going to do this is each of us are going to kind of come round and encourage you to come forward with ideas in terms of these two questions, all right? I'm going to give you about 8 minutes. So, Kay, are you happy to work with the two rows here? Simon, are you okay to kind of join that group there? Is that okay? The next two rows here, Beth, are you happy to work with those at the back?
Yes.
Maybe these two rows at the front here on my left-hand side, okay? Pippa, are you happy to work over there? And maybe the third, first two rows here. Mark, if you can go to the next two rows. Okay? So that's Mary's people who are getting the next row. Okay, that's you in right there. Richard, can you have the last two rows at the back? And maybe this long row here. So what we're going to do is I want you to think about ideas that you've got to make a great welcome for that family in the church, right? You've got about 4 minutes to come up with your ideas. We're going to note it down on a bit of chart paper, we're going to put them on the wall, so we're going to put the answers up on the wall. That's really cool. Then think about the next question, and then we're going to kind of put it all together. I'm going to type it up and we'll put it on the website so that you've got two streams worth of ideas that you can take away to work with your families and your churches. Is that okay? Everybody clear that what we're doing?
Hello. For anybody that joined since we all introduced ourselves, my name's Mark and I work with Urban Saints. Great. Okay, so in the first talk that Beth gave, she was talking about opportunities. In this next 10 minutes, we're going to be looking at the topic of choices. I'll start off just telling you a little bit about me and my family. So you can see me there with my little boy, James. James is a little bit older than he is in that picture. But James is 12. It was his 12th birthday last Sunday. But when he was 2.5,
He was diagnosed with autism and some associated learning difficulties. And when we received that news, and some of you in this room will have received news like that, or maybe you know, you've received other difficult news that you've had at parts of your life. And for us as a family, and for many of you here at that time in your lives, we face choices. We face choices as to what we're going to do with that news that we've received. How is that going to impact on our lives? Is it going to be the defining moment in our life? Is it going to be the defining moment for our family? Is that going to be the point at which we always look back at where things went difficult for us as a family? Or are we going to look at that time as the start of an inspiring journey? A journey going where God wants us to be. A journey doing what God wants us to do. And for us as a family, we chose the latter. We didn't want our life from that point forward to be defined by what a doctor had told us about nine and a half years ago. We didn't want James to be labelled first and foremost as a boy with autism. We wanted to have an inspiring journey with James and with us as a family that would take us to places that we didn't expect to go, doing things that we didn't expect to be doing. And like Beth, when she stood here and said, didn't expect that she'd be stood here doing this when she started her journey, neither did I. And many of us in this room perhaps wouldn't be here except for the journeys that we've been on. And our life and our journey has had mountain tops and it's had valleys. And I'm sure yours have as well. I remember one mountain top when James, I was collecting him from his after-school club. So a couple of years ago now. And he ran up to me, gave me a great big hug, which was wonderful in itself. Looked at me and said, "I'm happy." Those were the first words that he'd spoken to me. How we got home, I have no idea. I drove through a mist of tears, all the way back. Tears of wonderful joy. A real mountaintop. Another mountaintop was when he loved to play and use his computer, but he just couldn't get how the mouse worked. He'd always end up pressing the wrong button. He couldn't get it to work, and he'd get frustrated by that. So much so that one of us would have to sit with him, and he'd point at the screen, and we'd click on what he wanted. So I got a mouse, and I took it to bits, and I rigged it so that only the left button worked, and plugged it all back in again. And suddenly, he could use this mouse, and he could use the website, and he could move around it, and do the things he wanted to do, and do the puzzles, and watch the videos, and do all that himself. And the beam of joy on his face as he was able to do that was a huge mountaintop. And yes, there are valleys as well. So he's 12, and he started to go through puberty. And some of you will have been on that journey already and will know that that's a difficult time as well. But in all of the journey that we go on with James, it's how God is using that, how God is at the centre of that. We're not in that place 9.5 years ago when we first got that diagnosis. We're where God wants us to be now. We're doing what God wants us to do now as a family. And we're in that place because God has led us and guided us. And we're in that place because of great folk that have supported us and helped us along the way as well. And some of those have been at our church. James has a team of four people who co-wrote that. Care for him, love him, look after him, and support him in the Sunday school work at our church. And so each week he's got somebody there that will be there for him to help him to engage with the program and to be able to do the things that the other children in the Sunday school do as well. And we've been blessed because we followed on in the footsteps of others. There was a young lad who had autism at our church before James was born. And our church learned inclusion through that experience with him. And so we've benefited as a family as well. And it's little things like having
having somebody that can just offer a bit of support to the family for Sunday school that can make such a big difference. It's reappraising what's important. What are the important things for us as a church? What are the important things for us as individuals? How do we respond to where God's taking us on our journey and giving us a new focus? And for me, it's like God had a plan all along. Because 8 years ago, I was running a telecoms training division, working with folk like Vodafone and Nokia and people like that, running technical training teams around the place. And in my spare time, which there wasn't a lot of, I was involved in children's and youth work at church. But God brought those strings together and brought me into Urban Saints, children's and youth Christian charity that operates across the whole of the UK. And as part of my role, I started supporting children's and youth workers who were starting to get questions coming in about how to better support the children and young people in their groups that had additional needs. Questions ranging from, I've got a lad in my group, he's got ADHD, and sometimes there can be some challenging behaviour with that. We want to understand how to support him more effectively. What can I do to be a better support to him? Through to similar calls, but with a different focus, of people saying, I've got a lad in my group with ADHD, he's a complete nightmare, what can we do to exclude him? And starting that conversation again in a more positive place, moving that towards a place where that child was better supported as well. But then that led to going along to run a session at a training evening for youth workers up near Hitchin. And the plan was to go along and run a small workshop that would follow, along with a load of other workshops, from the main talk that was going to be delivered that night. When I arrived, I found that everybody had decided they wanted the special needs talk, so that became the main talk, and then it was a talk to everybody in the room, which was great. We had a brilliant time. From that, we started to think, well, actually, there's some stuff here to share. There's a message about inclusion that's so important to get out to our churches and our groups. How can we get this message out in creative ways to inspire people, to equip people, to support people, to enable people to be able to be inclusive in their children's and youth work, make what they do more accessible? And so at Urban Saints, we launched a training program called All Inclusive. And All Inclusive is a program that has been run in many churches and groups across the UK. In the first session, there were a couple of people that had been on a training a year or so ago. There are one or two familiar faces in the room that have been on the training here too. All about strategies, tips, ways in which inclusion can work within a children's or youth work setting. What are the resources that are out there that can really make a difference? What other experiences can be accessed, holidays and so on, that can be a real blessing to those families and to those young people? We've trained over 900 leaders of children's and youth work and church leaders across the UK so far, and have plenty more still to go. And lots of opportunities to speak at conferences as well, which have been another blessing. With Kay, we launched the Additional Needs Alliance, which has launched through Children Matter, a collaboration of children's organisations that meet to look at how to work more effectively together. And through some work that Kay and I started to do, we launched the Additional Needs Alliance, which is all about bringing people together that have a heart for inclusion in children's and youth work, giving them an opportunity to meet up, to share experiences, to be inspired by people coming and sharing their ideas and ways in which they've been able to bring inclusion to that work, and just bringing like-minded people together. In that, we've got a Facebook group, the Additional Needs Alliance Facebook group, so do come and join us. We've been signing people up today to come on that, and there are people who are experts in their field, practitioners, working with various charities, people in children's and youth work, parents that have been on this journey, and many more. So do come and join us with that. And then very quickly and finally, we've got Challenge for Life, which is a collaboration with Prospects. Some of you will know Prospects. And Challenge for Life is all about getting young people of any ability to come together and do a challenge together. So perhaps young people with disabilities and able-bodied young people coming together to take on a challenge together. It could be climbing a mountain. It could be going to an adventure centre for an Outward Bounds Day that's accessible and inclusive. Or it could be doing something for themselves, a walk or a ride around a local area that they can do together. But by doing it together, sending a message about inclusion to their church, sending a message out to the wider community about inclusion as well. So if that's something that would be interesting to you, do come and have a look at the website for that as well. The two questions that I'm going to leave you with, though, link back to this choice that we make. This choice to either be constantly and forever at that time when that news of that diagnosis or that condition being identified happened, being locked in the past with that, or being willing to be led where God wants us to go into the path and the direction and the journey that He wants to take us on. What are we going to do to help parents and carers of those young people make the right choice? How are we going to lead them forward from where they are, where it may be a dark place, it may be a difficult place, to a place where they can see some hope, where they can see that God has a future for them, a plan for them, a place that is a better place, a journey that's a better journey? How are we going to help them to do that and to make the right choices? And what do we need to do as the church to enable that to happen? What things do we need to have in place? What do we need to do to be able to support those parents and their children more effectively as they engage with our church? So those are my two questions for you to consider in this next part. Thanks, God.
I work for Care for the Family, but the story I just briefly want to tell you about is our story, not because our story is more important than your story, but because we all connect through stories. I'm an ideas person, I love ideas, but actually the truth is, if someone tells me a story, I'll remember that far longer than the theories and the principles that someone might have shared. So I guess, folks, just click into this story. If some of it makes you think of your story, then it illuminates it, and we go, yeah, some of it may not. But perhaps at the end of it, be empowered. If you're a parent particularly, you have a story to tell and to share that will help someone else. Yeah? Okay. So Life with Barney started almost 21 years ago. He was born at home, as planned, and the midwife, shortly after he was born, maybe 5-10 minutes, said, "Excuse me, I'm going to go downstairs, I just need to ring the GP." I thought, fine. She came back in about another 5 minutes and basically said to us, "We think your son has Down syndrome." And I remember, do you know when your head splits in two? And I was doing this, oh my goodness, and my heart was going down here. But I heard myself say, and I truly meant it, I really believe that Barney, we didn't have a name for him at that point, this child is as much a gift of God to us as our other children. And in the first group, I just said this, that sometimes we can be in churches and there's a lot of good emphasis on putting God's word into us and keeping God's word in our hearts, and that's really true. The other side of it is that when we do that, at those points of crisis and challenge and unlooked for opportunities and difficulties, God's word keeps us. It comes up from the depths. We may not be feeling it's true, but somehow deep inside, what's gone into us, what shaped us, comes out. And I found myself saying that. The other part of me was imagining 20 years down the road, this guy with Down syndrome shuffling along in an ill-fitting Mac. This wasn't helped by going to the hospital department 2 days after he was born, delving into the depths of the library on the bottom floor in the basement and reading some out-of-date textbooks about Down syndrome. Don't do it, folks. Well, we guess our information matters. But the point was this: God had given us this son. For those of you who will struggle with seeing, I'm just going to bring up a few slides, pictures of our son. Some of those pictures are actually quite sweet. Of course, I'm biased, but
I've picked up that some people don't are.
And again, in the first sermon, I was saying, you know, like kittens and dogs, puppies, they kind of have a cute factor mostly, don't they? And sometimes children with disabilities can have a cute factor too. But the truth is, they probably, like all of us, grow out of the cute factor. And I think one of the challenges for me as a parent and for us as a church is how we continue to support parents when children, who maybe, some of them maybe never had the cute factor, but some of them did, when they moved out of the cute factor into teenagerhood, young adulthood, older adulthood. We're at the cusp of this. I'm asking you the questions, not really giving you the answers, but I just think the challenge of how we truly include, but actually enable people to give and contribute, is one of the most important challenges we have as a church. It's my favourite t-shirt at the moment, for those of you who can't see, it's a picture of our family, all wearing red t-shirts, and the words on it say, "Keep calm, it's only an extra chromosome." And I feel like that's that's my mission at the minute, just to get that message across. When Jesus was baptized, the Father said to him essentially two things. "You are my beloved Son, and with you I am well pleased." And I don't know if this is a good interpretation of it, but a few years ago, I came to think that the Father was saying two related but distinct things to his Son. "You are my beloved Son." As if he was saying, "I love you, Jesus, for who you are. With you, I'm well pleased. You are going to achieve things. You are going to be significant." And I think deep within the human image that God's implanted in us, the divine image that God's implanted in us, it's true, isn't it? It's kind of obvious. We all long for acceptance, for who we are. Not for somebody that somebody thinks we should be. But we also all need significance. And that means that we're not meant to be simply the recipients of kind, loving care, although that's vital. God created all of us to be people who could contribute. And I think that one of the challenges that we have, and I want to kind of leave you with this one rather than giving you the answer, how might you, either as a parent or as a church or as both, how might you identify and release the gifts of children and adults with disabilities in your church? Our Barney loves to help. And last year he was able to help on a scripture union camp called Wide Open for teenagers with learning disability. He went on it as a teenager. Grew too old for it, and last year I felt like the Lord was kind of knocking on my heart's door and saying, "Pippa, why don't you get in touch with the folks who lead the camp and just see if Barney can go along as a helper," which is what I did. They agreed, and actually Peter, my husband and I, we went along as well and had a great time. But the point is this, simply this, that he was given an opportunity to serve. Now, like me, he didn't always want to. He'd rather play football. But the point was, we were shaping him, God was shaping him into someone who could contribute and who could receive back affirmation and that sense that we all have when we know we've done a good job, yeah? It's not about earning credit with God, folks, it's about who we're made. We're made to receive love, but we're also made to give and to do good things in God's name, yeah? So, final point, one of the things I do, as I said briefly at the beginning, with Care for the Family, part of Hillary's team, we train people to run parenting courses in the church and in communities. We love being able to resource people to do that. And of course, one of the courses we have, it's a great course called Time Out for Parents, Children and Special Needs. If you're interested in finding out more, come and ask us on the table, or come and ask us here. In the bags that you were given, there is an A5 brochure which explains all about the courses. They go under the heading Positive Parenting. They all start with the title Time Out for Parents, and that brochure not only explains the courses, but how you can train to facilitate those courses and make a difference in your community. My favourite places for doing them are actually not inside the church, but in the local community. You can reach so many people that way. These are the kind of things just do. So over 7 weeks, 2 hours a week, we look at topics to do with helping self-esteem. We look at the parent's journey, coping with our own feelings as well as our children's feelings, understanding and thinking of ways for managing behaviour. I know I've talked to many parents, particularly of children who are on the autistic spectrum. Perhaps they've actually been on a parenting course, but it's not been that helpful because it's been tailored at a fairly, quote, normal range of children. So this course really aims to give some specific help for children with additional needs. And we have two add-ons to that course. So there's an add-on which is about ADHD, and an add-on about autistic spectrum disorder. So folks, we haven't come here to teach you proverbially to suck eggs. We know that there's a huge amount of experience in this room. So we're offering this really to say thank you for coming to this stream. We hope that something that's been said is kind of that proverbial light bulb moment or reminded you of something. I'm going to pray in just a minute to close the session off, but I just want you maybe to stop for 30 seconds and think about one thing that you've heard this afternoon that has particularly impacted you, that you're going to go away, maybe share it with someone, maybe change something you do as a result of what you've heard. Okay, so I'll be quiet and you just take a few seconds to think about what that one thing might be. Father, you're the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. It's your fatherhood and your motherhood that created this world and gave us life. And we thank you for the children and adults you have given to us and have placed in our churches. And we pray, O Lord, that we may appreciate them and see them for who they are. And we ask, Lord, as we go from here, that you will help us to be people who can release the gifts of others, especially those who some people might overlook, Lord. We thank you that you've called us to be your body together. And I pray, Father, that every person in this room, that you will encourage and inspire afresh as a result of today. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Amen.